Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. When it comes to finding a place to work, California seems like a pretty attractive option. This year, the anti-poverty organization Oxfam America ranked California as the best state to work in, with high marks for supporting the right to organize, worker protections, and wage policies. California workers have seen minimum wage increases, legislative staff have gained the right to unionize, and new legislation will prohibit penalties for off-the-job marijuana use, and those are just among other changes. However, many people still face unfair labor practices and workplace abuse, like wage theft, retaliation, and dangerous working conditions. Tomorrow evening, a speaking event at the state capitol will talk about making job environments better for workers. It's called For Fairness in the Workplace, and it's part of What is a Good Job Now series from the nonprofit Zocalo Public Square. The event will be moderated by Joe Matthews, a California columnist at Zocalo, and its speakers include Sarah Fee, a former Amazon warehouse worker and organizer with the Warehouse Worker Resource Center in San Bernardino. And they join us now. Welcome to Insight, Joe and Sarah.
Great
Good
to
morning.
Be
with you. Thank you.
Joe, I want to start off with you. For listeners who might not be familiar, what is Zocalo?
Zocalo is a media and civic nonprofit based in Los Angeles. In recent years, affiliated with Arizona State University. We publish original content, usually essays, and including my column daily. And we also put on free public events, about 40 a year, mostly in California, but some in other parts of the country and around the world.
The event in Sacramento tomorrow, it's part of a series that is called What is a Good Job Now? How did the series come about, Joe?
We were talking to the James Irvine Foundation, which has supported Zocalo in the past and which supports the series. And I'm a columnist who roams around the state. And the difference between visiting Sacramento and going to the Capitol, where labor seems ascendant and there are all these, you know, laws that are seen as progressive and protecting workers. You know, the difference between that sort of attitude and what I see in the rest of the state, which is that workers, particularly workers that make less money, really struggling, both economically, but even more so with the conditions of their jobs. You know, they don't have much place to go when things go poorly. You know, they can have their wages stolen and it can take years to get them back if ever. The difference between the ambitions and the legislation and reality is this vast chasm. And so it struck me as a good moment to really have a question about what is a good job and to look at, you know, and really the point of this event and the series is to sort of look at why there's such a difference between our ambitions and what we've done with legislation, regulation, and what the realities are for workers in the state.
Sarah, that brings me to you. I would love to learn more about your background and what drew you to this event that you're going to be speaking at Zocalo.
I think any opportunity to speak on the conditions that warehouse workers face, particularly in the Inland Empire, when we have such a high concentration of them, what it's really like for warehouse workers.
What would you like people to know about working conditions at warehouses?
Well, they're not safe, first of all. And these warehouses are not built to have people in them. They're built to move packages, so they're missing things like mats for us to stand on, like water stations for us to stay hydrated. The pace of work is fast, and that causes higher injury rates. And also the pay that we receive, we can't thrive on it.
Mm. You know, Joe, when learning about Sarah's experiences, and Sarah's going to be a speaker at the event at the state capitol tomorrow, what message does Sarah send to this broader series that you're working on? What is a good job now?
I think since we're talking mostly about sort of lower wage work, I think one of the questions is, there are lots of different kinds of lower wage jobs, different sectors, and some can be decent jobs, particularly when they lead to something and that they sort of fit humans. I mean, what she talked about is the factory's not set up just for human beings to be in them. They're highly automated and they move stuff around. I think a lot of jobs are not set up for humans, well set up. Humans need the notion of the idea of forward progress. You know, it's one thing to be making a poor wage, but if you can see that it leads to something, it adds to your skills, maybe it connects to opportunities, for education, like Starbucks has, where it helps subsidize your college education. Or maybe it leads to promotion. You're in a, you know, you start low, but you can fairly quickly be promoted. Those sorts of things make an enormous difference. I think also, the idea is that if something's going wrong, you're treated poorly, you can go forward. I think finally, another issue that really has come up that surprised me in this, but probably shouldn't have, is the question of if you have enough people working with you. It's been really striking, and this is also in the context of all these labor strikes, the talk of the hot labor summer, but across all these very different sectors, from Hollywood writers' rooms to hotel workers, there's a deep concern that people don't have enough colleagues, that there's not minimum staffing. I can relate to this. Maybe you can too, Vicky, in a public radio station. Are there enough people that I'm safe in the hotel where I'm working? Or am I alone working in an enormous hotel at night with all the dangers that can do that? Or do I have enough? Do I have enough colleagues that if I get sick or have to take care of my mother, I can actually take the time off and the business can keep going and operating? Can I take time off? There's this issue of this problem of not enough workers is not just a problem for someone who's going in and trying to get a cup of coffee in a timely fashion. It's a bigger problem for workers having enough. You need enough given colleagues to make things done, or you exhaust people, you hurt their health and they can never rest. That subject has come up over and over again. And it's interesting, you're seeing it raised in all these new sectors. I mean, it's a very old topic of conversation in healthcare, where minimum staffing and nurse-patient ratios are a big issue. It's even been a topic in education, where we talk about class sizes, how many students per teacher. But it's now sort of permeating all the industries, since there aren't enough workers and too much work.
Mm. Yeah, what I'm learning from you is like there's this whole ecosystem surrounding what a good job is, and pay is one part of that, but it's just one part. There are other pieces of support and resources that make a job a good job. You know, Sarah, is that the experience that you had? And you also you're an organizer with the Warehouse Worker Resource Center. Is that what you help people achieve, that upward mobility, resources, and just having the appropriate, balance to manage your life and your job?
Yeah, my experience at Amazon, Joe is absolutely correct. Like, they make more money if there's less people doing more work, and it does burn you out and it does cause injuries. And being part of the Workers Resource Center is a really cool opportunity for me. So I can talk to workers and help workers build worker power in their job place. And it's exciting to be able to be part of that.
Yeah, Joe, also from a company or an employer perspective, California is also known and coined as a difficult place to do business due to high costs, due to regulations. Do you think that these challenges ultimately trickle down to employee working conditions?
I think the way I would connect the employer frustration and problem with the working condition is that the state has done an awful lot to try to protect workers, and employers have and their representatives in Sacramento have often fought that. But where I think the employers have a beef, and it connects to the realities, difficult realities for workers, is the sheer complexity, the overlapping different kinds of legislation, regulation. There's a lot of it. It's hard to keep up with it. Sometimes there's been a lot of change. Not all of it all fits together coherently. And it can cost a lot of money just to, if you're an employer, to educate yourself on what the rules are. And it's a moving target. And so, for workers on the other side of that, that means, you know, their employers may not know. They you know, workers are not necessarily going to know the law either. They face that same complexity too. Their employer doesn't know. And then when, so workers, it's hard for workers to find out. Now there are things, I mean, you know, there are those job posting signs in workplaces about safety and different kind of rules and what your rights are. One of the things I've done helping put together events, and we're publishing essays on it. It's remarkable the extent to which people who inspect workplaces actually tend not to be the government. They tend to be auditors and people who are hired by big retailers like Walmart or Target. Read those things. The information on them is accurate and useful, although they do need to be updated. But I think also for workers, it adds to the difficulty of the complexity adds the difficulty of figuring out, you know, when you're not being treated well, what rules have been violated, and then where do you go? Because it's California, and it could be, I mean, is it the Labor Commission? Is it some other agency? Is it the federal government you should go to? The U.S. Department of Labor does some things. It's complex to complain, and then it's also complex to, and can be incredibly time-consuming and frustrating. For people who are in lower wage jobs, don't have that much time because they're working all the time to then, you know, to then pursue a case and get what you want. I mean, the idea of protecting people is sense. It has broad support in the public, but the execution in terms of making things understandable and having, you know, getting problems solved promptly in ways that are, you know, good for workers, that we haven't achieved as a state.
Okay, so there's a disconnect between policy and intention and actually executing that. And your event tomorrow, hopefully, a goal is to close that gap or raise awareness. What do you hope to accomplish from the event that's going to be held at the state capitol tomorrow evening, Joe?
Well, I think the idea is to, to have a conversation. Sarah is someone who's coming to kind of explain how things are to people in Sacramento, how these things play on the ground. And I think it's also to shine a light on the enforcement side of things. I mean, I think this is an issue and a problem that goes beyond beyond this particular subject of labor law and labor enforcement. I mean, the state, this is a progressive state, a progressive, many social movements on the rise. They're enacting new rules. They're putting out ambitions, but achieving the actual change has been harder. The state has been great on thinking big. It's been great on making rules, but it's not so good at managing or executing. And I think the more kinds of conversations we have in the state, and particularly there in the Capital Region, the better off we'll be. It's always useful to have the rubber meets the road. And then I think the other point is this is, you know, we have an open event. It's free. It's public. We'll even give you a drink. And people there, you know, who are in Sacramento, who are workers at different levels, that it's all open to them. People work in the government may know things. You can come. Only 2/3 of this event is a panelist talking. The other third is questions from people who are there in the audience. So please show up. It'd be great to meet you.
Finally, Sarah, I want to end with you. I mean, what you do as a warehouse worker is essential work that touches so many lives in California, and often it can be overlooked, right? What do you hope people take away from the event that you're participating in tomorrow?
That there is a cost for your 2-day shipping, and it's a human cost, right? And these big corporations, they're the ones that are responsible for taking care of the workers, and they're not. And when you order something, you should know what it's like for a warehouse worker when you receive your package, all the way to the drivers that drive in vans without air conditioning.
Sarah and Joe, thank you for the time.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Joe Matthews is a California columnist at Zocalo Public Square, and Sarah Fee is a former Amazon warehouse worker and an organizer with the Warehouse Worker Resource Center in San Bernardino. They have been talking about California's workplace protections and the upcoming For Fairness in the Workplace event, which will be held tomorrow at 6 p.m. on the west steps of the state capitol. Up next, Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg is not seeking re-election. We'll look at the four candidates currently looking to replace him ahead of next year's primary and where they stand on various issues. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Well, you're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. We're back in just a moment.